All right, folks, welcome back to the last Mountain West Wire. Excuse me. Yes, MW Wire, Mountain West Wire. We're not editing this, Eli. We're keeping it.
No, we just got to roll through it.
Basketball edition. That's Eli Bedker there. We're back to talk one of our many previews of the season, because the season is technically, we're going to have to hurry on these podcasts. We're less than 1 month away from the season beginning officially on November 6th.
Yeah, it's coming up really fast.
We are doing our top 25 countdown. You are spearheading that, getting those together. So if you're not checking out our hub on the homepage, top 25 Mountain West players of the year, I know it's not every Nevada player, their child, the wife of the coach, or their play-by-play guys. There are other teams involved. But check that out. We are talking today, Colorado State Rams.
That's right.
Our last podcast, really quick, who did we even talk about? Utah State. Sorry, Aggies.
That's right.
I'm like, Blake, okay. I'm like, wait, it was 10. My Skype said we talked 10 days ago because we are not planning properly for this. But we'll get there. Utah State was our last show. Go check that out. We're going back-to-back new head coaches. So we're going Colorado State because the fans demanded it in a vote. So the Rams, so if you don't follow about Rams basketball, first off, thank you for listening to get educated. They have a new head coach because they now have Nico Medved, who took over, coming over from Drake. And he said also Furman, is that right?
Yes, 4 years at Furman, 1 year at Drake.
1 year at Drake, so making the big jump up over Larry Eustace, who had a contentious exit? How do we say his exit was with the university?
Tumultuous.
Tumultuous, that's what I was looking for. But it was it was odd. It was a buyout situation. He's hanging out. Isn't his home in Malibu or something, his second home?
I can't remember what Justin Michael told us, but it's somewhere around there, I think.
He's hanging out at the beach over at Pepperdine University, just chilling. Mm-hmm. So he's gone, which we don't need to rehash that, but just be nice. Be fair.
Yeah.
You can be mean and still nice. All right, so let's get to these teams here. Colorado State, they are hoping, with the new head coach, there's a lot of different type of goals you want to set for your team. Because with Eustace, the main thing was, as we noted throughout the years, is that it was always, let's build JUCOs and see what happens. Because Eustace, even when he was hired, I think you agree with me, Eli, he wasn't like a long-term coach, more than maybe like 5 or so years.
Yeah, I think that's probably accurate.
And so why build too much for the future, I guess? Not that it was purposeful, but it's kind of lazy recruiting.
It might be, but I don't think it's as bad as some people suggest, because when you're at a non-Power 6 team, the best you can usually do in terms of recruits is probably a 3-star, maybe the occasional 4-star. And the Mountain West does have the likes of UNLV and San Diego State who are in contention for 5-stars quite often, but to build off experienced JUCO talent, I don't think is the worst route, but when it doesn't pan out, that's when you receive a lot of backlash. And I think that's why Colorado State has produced a number of average products the last few years, because the JUCO talent just didn't quite pan out.
It didn't pan out, but also last year was a bad year. There were 24 wins year before. The surprise team in 2016, 2017. Only won 10 games last year under Eustace. And this team has had potential. Like, they've done good, like, with Tim Miles. Eustace won 20 games 3 times. Only made the NCAA tournament once with 1 victory back in his first year, which is kind of crazy when you think about it. So what, before we get to like Medved and who left and who's back, because they did lose some transfers due to the new coach, which happens, what do you think is typical expectations for Rams basketball year in and year out?
I think getting to 20 wins is probably a reasonable benchmark. It's not a program that will expect to get to the NCAA tournament every year, because that's just not what it has been. But if Nico Medved can flip CSU into kind of what Boise State represents right now under Leon Rice, I think that's a reasonable benchmark.
Yeah, that's a pretty good response there. Good. And that's good. Sorry, I'm trying to read his NIT stuff for CSU. But that's fair, about 20 wins. And maybe get to NCAA tournaments, what, 2 out of 5 years?
Yeah, that's fair.
Because when they look at what they've done historically, NCAA tournaments, they've only been 3 times since 2000. So it's not like it's a team that's going. They've only had, what, a dozen NCAA tournament appearances ever. They're 4-11 overall, but going back to 1954, where made Sweet 16. Do they still have that banger hanging up there? Elite 8, 1969. Hey, they played Drake that year, but lost. Just saying, there's a connection. But they've also been NIT about, since 2000, they've only been to 7 postseason tournaments. 3 NCAA tournaments, 3 NIT, 1 CBI. So you think
that number needs to improve. I mean, I can understand NCAA tournament appearances, but not getting to NIT or CBI year in and year out is a bit more concerning.
In 18 years, I guess it's 18, right? Or 17, whatever, maybe 18. Seven tournaments, and CIT doesn't really count. It's there just because, right?
I guess so.
I think it needs to be. Do you think NIT every year should be the baseline?
I mean, maybe.
8 out of 10.
I don't know if baseline's the right word, but like.
Goal? Reasonable goal?
Yeah, reasonable goal should be to get to around 17 to 20 wins in an NIT bid. I would think so.
Okay. So that's what they're going to be at, or what do you think they should be at? And that's fair, because they're a team where they've had enough success with enough different coaches. It's not like they've had one coach for 30 years or 20 years. Like, look at Utah State. Let's go to Stu Merle. He was at CSU as well, so we kind of tie it together. They're still working on what they want to do with their head coach, with their second coach since Merle's gone. It's not like they had a long-term coach. Look at that success, and is it going to be the same? They've done it with multiple coaches where the success has been about the same. So it can be done regardless of coach. They seem the coach to do just a little bit more, right?
I mean, I would have to say so. I'm digging through CSU's reference page right now, and since college basketball moved to the bracket that we know today in 1985, Colorado State really hasn't had a long-term head coach for much longer than 7 years. So Morrill was there for 7 years. Tony McAndrews was there for 7 years. And it's just kind of rotated in and out. So I don't know how long Nico Medved will be in CSU, and he already seems like a coach that will be moving up ranks as quickly as he can, going from Furman to Drake and now up to the Mountain West with CSU. But if he can be that guy that turns CSU into a program, I like to say something like what Boise State is under Leon Rice, I think it would be a successful coach hiring.
Yeah, we'll see. Like, just going through like what they've done, we're not going to go too far back, but they have had, like, it's hit or miss, I guess. Like, did you see what Tim Miles did year one?
Not good.
0-16 in conference.
No
play.
Conference wins.
Sheesh. Okay, let's move on to the actual team. But just looking back historically, it makes sense of what they could be, because they've only been ranked twice in the past since 2000. They've only NCAA tournament three times, like I said. They had only been a higher seed or a favorite seed once when they made that Sweet 16 run in 08, or excuse me, 2012, where they were 8 seed. New Stacy's year number one. So, all right, so let's find out who's the head coach. Who's Nico Medved? He was a Drake. What did he do there in his singular year out there in the let me guess, Horizon Conference? Am I right? Is that right?
In the Missouri Valley Conference.
Ah, close. Missouri yeah. Valley, hanging out so with Greg Marshall.
That's right. He pushed Drake to a 17-17 record, which was actually, all things considered, probably a pretty good performance on his end. Both of the programs that he's coached at, Drake and Furman, he's turned around quite quickly. Drake won just 7 games the year before Medved came in and won 17. And then under Furman, he did much of the same. Started off a 9-win team, pushed that to 11, up to 19, and then 23 in his last year. So it's been consistent improvement under Nico Medved, and he'll look to do the same with CSU, the program that won just a handful of games last year.
Should be noted, he is also with CSU from 07 to 13.
That's right, another Tim Miles product. So this is second podcast in a row we have a Tim Miles product as the new head coach.
Exactly. So Tim Miles, let's see what he does in Nebraska. So it's let's just say this: Tim Miles is a great Twitter follow.
I can't even speak on that. I don't really know.
He does good things. So he does. He's a When he's at CSU, he did fun things. When he's on Twitter, he does great things. He's an interesting guy. He's a fun guy. He's an energetic guy. So,
I think Medved kind of echoes that a bit. I know that a lot of the people that cover CSU were pleased with Medved having open practices for the media, and that's something that U Station
Ooh,
never
boy.
Allowed. So
they put
yeah,
down,
that's, a, that's a big deal.
They tore down the Iron Curtain?
yeah. It's so it's been down.
Oh, boy. That's good to know. Get some news on this team. It's like we make the joke about national secrets, even though Air Force still hasn't told anybody who their defensive coordinator is. It's good to have some transparency every now and then.
Yeah, definitely.
You don't need to make every practice open. You don't need to make media be able to watch the whole 2 hours or whatever, but give at least half an hour, okay? Come on. Mm-hmm. It's not that bad. You can come shooting free throws. It doesn't matter. Let's see what's going on. All right, so Medved, he's, like I said, fast riser. He's been firm in a couple years. Drake 1 year. He's been at Minnesota as an assistant, been at CSU, so he's been around a few different places. Who are the players? You keep track of this a little bit better than me, but who left with when you say she retired or resigned or mutually agreed to part ways?
So Prentice Nixon is the big loss for this team, and I we'll add a little bit more on to that when we get it, but he was the leading scorer last year at 16.1 points per game. He's gone, as well as Shea Bob, who just averaged just under a nudge of 10 points per game. He started 28 times. Those are the main losses. So although CSU is in much better shape than they probably assumed they would be in, because they had J.D. Page, who was considering transferring, Anthony Bonner as well, and then Nico Carvacho almost left to another program. He decided to return, and Chris Martin and Oral Roberts transferred, had basically all but signed and delivered his way to Oklahoma, but he's decided to return when the Rams hired Nico Medved. So all in all, Colorado State, their roster is in much better shape than I and many others would have imagined.
So I have a list here of transfers. So you showed me a great resource, Three-Man Weave.
That's right.
People, it's 3-man-weave.com. Go check them out. They do great stuff. So it's another resource I need for basketball, because people know I'm more of a football guy, but I dabble in basketball enough to know what's going on. I'm not the guy who says, wake me up in March, but maybe January. But here's the thing. Looking through, they mentioned newcomers. I assume all these guys are eligible. Chris Martin, Hyron Edwards from Texas Tech, is he eligible?
Yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. And so I guess all these are Kendall Moore, Adam Thistlewood, and redshirt Zoe Tyson, right?
Yeah, those are all eligible this year.
Okay, mm-hmm. Just making sure, because sometimes you see newcomers, it's a transfer, a redshirt, they don't specify. So I figured it's the case. So, like, looking at the production, because who knows what Chris Martin will do from it's like, did you ever watch Dirty Rock, Eli?
A couple episodes.
Yeah. Do you remember the rural juror episode?
No.
Okay, so it's like, you know who John Grisham is?
Yes.
Good. Okay. Thank you for answering one of those. Great. So they make a joke in the show. He has a brother who writes similar novels, like law novels in the South. So he had one title called The Rural Juror, which is clearly not very – doesn't roll off the tongue.
No, it does not.
And so I'm like, Oral Roberts. I'm like, oh, geez. So it's,
Rural Juror.
Exactly. The Rural Juror. Oral Roberts there. He comes there. But here's the thing. If he's considering Oklahoma, they're a pretty good basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh yeah, he could have gone to a high major program pretty easily.
Could he realistically be their best player?
I would not be shocked. He was capable of averaging 15 a game. He's a much more efficient scorer than what Prentice Nixon was last year. And Nixon carried a great deal of the workload, but shot just under 36% from the field. Martin is more capable. He can shoot over 40% from beyond the arc, a bit more versatile on offense. So I think he's going to be one of the guys that we don't as a whole talk much about in the preseason, and then ends up being maybe a fringe third team All Mountain West or something along those lines.
Did he crack our top 25? I forget.
He did not. He was an honorable mention.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. New transfer. I think the only transfers were probably one of the Nevada guys and maybe the New Mexico guy. No, but he – never mind. We're not going to get into that. We'll get that later, because I don't have a list in front of me and I don't want to sound like a dummy. So he's their main back, him and J.D. Page. Like, we'll get to our preseason, like, position rankings. You're higher on them than me. Is it because of those two guys? Or is it also with Nico Carvacho coming back, where they could have three guys average and maybe four guys average in double digits, depending on what Deion James does?
Yeah, it's a lot of experience. The Colorado State team, there's a lot of veterans on this team. They could start five upperclassmen in their starting lineup, so that's already pretty impressive. And then just knowing a bit about Nico Medved's background with being able to turn around programs pretty quickly, this is almost a similar situation that he entered when he was with Drake, picking up a team that had won just single-digit wins the year before and brought a number of those pieces back and flipped it into a pretty solid basketball team. So there's a lot of pieces that I liked last year for Colorado State too, and I just think this team, now that they have some direction and a coach that, I mean, for lack of a better phrase, actually wants to run plays on offense.
Yeah, he actually coaches them.
I think they'll be much better off, yeah.
So you're telling me you want a coach that his motivation isn't yelling at you to play better, but actually showing you how to play better.
Yes, and running plays on offense.
Yeah, and it's like, you're convincing me a little bit to maybe I picked them to the Labunga stick with my prediction, because that's what I do. I like how like they could are they really like maybe a team that could make the NCAA tournament? Because
I wouldn't go that far, but sorry, go ahead.
No, it's I'm just curious because I think from going okay, doing some more of the research, listening to what you're saying, I probably have them too low. Because one thing that's key is upperclassmen returning experience. However, that's offset by one guy's a transfer is probably going to start. You have a new head coach because it's always in the tournament time. Oh, we got juniors, seniors. That's why these teams sometimes make those upsets. It could be like an all-freshman Kentucky team or something just because they know each other so well and played for so much. I think there's a little bit of that here, but offset by two new guys who are going to be impact. But then again, if they actually make plays, then how much does that counteract the other way again?
Mm-hmm. I mean, the potential is there for Colorado State to probably be, I would say, a top half team in the Mountain West, but a lot of the guys that they do return last year won just one of their final 13 games of the year, and that was an 11-point win over San Jose State at home.
But that last half was kind of nutty with suspensions and having your third coach come in to be the interim.
It was a bizarre situation, and I don't think many people expected Colorado State to win on any given night, knowing what was going on inside and outside of the program. But it's still a fairly similar roster to what it was a year ago, so that is a reason to be concerned. But I still like the experience that the team has, and the addition of Chris Martin should help quite a bit.
Okay. Now that's if you have a big guy who does that could be a huge deal. And maybe there'll be a team where they start slow because of this stuff. Then once mid-January comes around, they're humming and possibly being better.
Do we want to go into the schedule a little bit since you brought that up?
Let's do it, yeah.
Okay, go for it.
Sure, I'll go for it. I got it right here. So sponsored by Pizza Hut on csurams.com. Just
there we go.
That's out there. Do you like Pizza Hut? Is that a pizza of your choice of you, yours?
I mean, it's all right. You can do worse.
Yeah, you can do better too. So yeah,
that's fair.
They just have a huge Pizza Hut logo on there. So here's what they do. They go to a tournament, which is the Gulf Coast Showcase, a new tournament this year.
It is because of
it looks terrible. I'm sorry.
Well, like, to go back on why they're even playing in this one, CSU was scheduled to participate in the Rocky Mountain Showdown. It's either Showdown or Classic. I think it's Showdown. Which is the tournament that was going to take place in the U.S. Olympic.
Oh, that's right. Sponsored by the Mountain. Yeah, I've been there. The U.S.
Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
And that folded.
Never started.
So they're expected to bring it back next year with Carosta playing in it, I believe. But for now, that's being put on hold. I guess it just wasn't ready, or the release was very vague on what actually went down. But that's the reason.
Let me translate for you, Eli. We don't have enough money or teams interested for this tournament.
That's probably a safe assumption. Yeah. So Gulf Coast Showcase, it is. With Arkansas Pine Bluff and Montana State.
Those teams aren't very good.
Yeah. The allure with Montana State's gone now that their top players have left too.
Yeah, so they had one guy who was going to go to UVU, transferred, then went to Montana State. And so, yeah, that's not going to help them at all. No, actually, let's make this a good thing. These are all games they could probably win, right? Even getting to like when they do the actual in Florida, when they play Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all games where they could be. Then there's also Toledo, Florida Gulf Coast, or some other team. So let's don't just kind of poo-poo on their playing this terrible tournament. They could be like 4-2 or 5-1.
They could be, yeah.
And that can go a long way for, like I said, new coach, new starting lineup, key transfers coming in. So like playing a team like Toledo, Florida Gulf Coast, if that's who they play. I don't even know who else is in the tournament, but it's a positive where it could be games where they could win, and that's what you need at this point.
Yeah, it should be a decent test, and you play quality competition away from home down in Florida. So, yeah. Reasonable expectation, maybe you get to 3-4 or even 5 wins in those first 6 games. That would not be a bad mark for CSU.
Yeah, get a couple of those wins under the belt, be 3-3 maybe, who knows. Then, I'm not going to go game by game, but there's a few we're going to point out, because we have to put out the final year of the Missouri Valley Mountain West Challenge.
That's right.
Southern Illinois at Mobley Arena. Again, that's what are the Salukis supposed to be? Are they supposed to be anything special this year?
I don't believe so. Like you said, again, it's a 20-win team that I think loses a few key pieces, but actually it doesn't look like it.
I just wanted to bring it up.
It's probably a winnable game if it's at home and coming off the tournament in Florida.
I just wanted to bring it up because it's the Missouri Valley Challenge.
That's right,
that's
yeah.
That's the only reason we brought it up. And then, like, overall, their non-conference schedule kind of bounced around from what they have, but I believe the Arkansas game is part of the football series because they played them home and home. They played last year basketball in Fayetteville, right?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, so it's probably combo. They got Colorado, so some decent competition. What other? South Dakota, Long Beach State's okay, and Mexico State. So a non-conference schedule for the team they have, there's only probably the Colorado, Arkansas, would you say New Mexico State probably games are not going to win?
Yeah, that's probably a safe assumption.
Maybe and Long Beach State,
whatever
maybe.
The final game of the Gulf Coast Showcase might be.
Yeah.
So you don't know how that will turn out.
Yeah, so they could probably come out with maybe a winning record before league play begins right at the new year.
I would say so, yeah. Probably 7-8 wins maybe.
Yeah, and if maybe they could, because like New Mexico State's probably maybe a win. It's at home, so that's helpful a little bit. But New Mexico State's usually pretty good, and I love Long Beach State because they're all playing that pyramid arena out there. It's pretty cool, and they always have a decent team playing in the Big West. So, and who knows about Sam Houston State because they're whatever Southland Conference. This is schedule you want for a new head coach, right? To make sure your team is somewhat successful.
Yeah, because you should be able to gather some wins while also playing quality competition. And then I also like how their home and road games are set up. They have a test at Colorado. That should be a bit of a tough one. Long Beach State is usually good. But then you also have home matchups against some quality opponents with New Mexico State, Arkansas, and also Montana State all coming to Fort Collins. So those are three quality matchups right there that probably won't be favored to win, maybe against Montana State, but it still gives the home fans an opportunity to see the new team against some quality competition.
Definitely. So when we get to league play, we're not going to go through league play, but they start off like it's going to be pretty – well, we'll get to UNLV and who knows what they're going to be. But the schedule starts off – it's normal schedule. I was trying to find some hyperbole to say it's great, it's awesome, it's terrible. But it's – what do you expect? It's at UNLV will be – on their same level. At Fresno will be tricky. Air Force, fine. New Mexico, tricky. Utah State, tricky. It's a back-and-forth schedule where I don't really see it too much of a stretch. Maybe that New Mexico, Utah State, Nevada, Fresno. Well, here's their stretch you look out for. That mid-January stretch, end of the year. Or at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So they got 12th to 29th. They have their two on the road, three at home. But it's New Mexico, Utah State, at Nevada, Fresno, and Boise. That could be the start of a long losing streak for them, potentially.
It could be, or it could be a chance for the team to come together and build a better stretch run, because then it starts to, I guess, rotate a little bit. They have a home game against San Jose State on ESPN2 in February, which will be a good matchup. Mm-hmm. But I think overall the schedule is probably what you would want to see out of Colorado State in a first-year head coach, because you have a few tests and some challenges here and there, but overall, there's definitely an opportunity for CSU to stack a few wins together.
There are. And then even when I mentioned that stretch, though, it's not like I think New Mexico is going to be pretty good. But Utah State's not great, but it's a road game. And Fresno and Boise aren't what they were last year. And so those are games where they're probably not going to win, but it's not going to be something they're going to be severe underdogs. Because they're a team.
Right.
I think with – I like who they have coming back, even though you said they lost those – almost all the prior end of the season games outside of that Spartans victory. They're a team like where they could be at, I guess, because I put them ninth. Okay, I'll say that right now. I put them ninth in the conference. They're a team where they may not be as bad as you think being ninth overall, because I think I'm still liking the amount of experience they have back, and that can offset playing, say, UNLV, who has a bunch of new guys coming back, or Utah State loses like McEwen we talked about, or Boise losing like Hutchinson. Or Wyoming losing Hayden Dalton, or even they'll beat San Jose State, but those type of guys on those teams that are gone. They have a core back, and that could offset teams that might be better than them. And so that's why, even though I put them ninth, mm-hmm. I'm thinking I probably should put them higher, but I'll stick with it because it's easier to do that and not change. But I'm betting, look at their schedule. I'll say this right now. I bet that Fresno State, Boise State game at home, they might be able to win both of those.
They could, and another thing to keep an eye out is if CSU comes out firing and they win their first four or five games of their, I don't know, maybe start 4-1, 5-1, I think the fan base will really get behind Medved and what's going on, because with the way the season ended last year in Ustyishi, I just know that the fans want to see some new blood there in Fort Collins. And if Medved appears to be turning things around quickly, you have a number of players that these fans love, especially Nico Carvacho, that put form a pretty solid rotation. So I think that if things start off nicely for CSU, it could blend into conference play, and you could see Colorado State rise up the Mountain West ladder quite a bit.
It could be. And if that schedule starts nice, like you think it could be, that Arkansas game could be a pretty big crowd at home.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Because they got those, we already mentioned, tournament games on the road for the SIU game, on the road to the Buff games, which maybe they'll show up there. Some do, but if they, especially if they beat Colorado, which is maybe, I don't know, there's a small chance. But if they're still sitting at, what, 6-2, 6-3 at that point, and they won, beat Colorado and maybe some decent teams, or just winning, plus it's the first big game at home year, the home game year also at home. Because whatever, so whatever you want to say, Southern Illinois, come on. They play Montana State, Pine Bluff, who cares? This will be a game, even if they're not very good, there'll be people showing up to this game because, hey, we're playing Arkansas. It'll be an added bonus if they have like 4-7 wins.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
So where do you tell people where you have them finishing then?
I have Colorado State finishing 6th this year. And I did have them 5th, but I guess we'll leave the other team out of the discussion for the time being. But there is a bit of a concern with how they finished last year, and we obviously discussed Ustyishi, the end of his tenure, and how things got a little bit hectic. I still want to see what Colorado State does with the guard positions, whether it's Anthony Vicente Bonner starting at point guard, if it's J.D. Page, who was injured and suspended at the end of the year. There are some question marks there, but bring back Nico Carvacho, who's a double-double guy night in and night out, and Chris Martin could be one of the better newcomers in the year. I'd be surprised if Colorado State finished much worse than 7th or 8th, knowing Medved's background and the veteran experience that Colorado State has this year.
So is that going to be good enough to get them to any postseason tournament?
It might get them to one of the C starting tournaments, CBI or CIT. I don't think that they get to the NIT this year, but if they do get a postseason bid, I think they should take it up.
Regardless?
I think so. Yeah, it's a good opportunity for these players, and I mean, they could be pretty solid the following year as well. So I think whenever you have a first-year head coach, you should probably take up one of those opportunities.
I agree. Like I remember with Eric Musselman, Nevada. They took the. Yeah. They won the CIT, was it?
The CBI, yeah.
They won that, went to the NIT, now NCAA tournament, and now they're hoping for a whole lot more this year. So not that that trajectory is going to happen, but I think anytime you get more basketball with a new group, a new coach, take it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's very few circumstances when you should decline one of those events. But yeah, if CSU can punch out a CBI or a CIT berth out of this season, maybe get around to 15-17 wins, I think that will probably be a fairly successful start to Medved's tenure in Fort Collins.
All right, so do you have we're not going to do win projections because basketball is unwieldy for that. Any
that's right.
Any notes we need to add about this CSU Rams team we missed?
I guess the first thing to note is Anthony Bonner now will be going by Anthony Macinton Bonner, which I just referenced. Macinton, I believe, is his the last name of his mother, and so he changed his name, so you'll recognize that. Early on this year, J.D. Page we'll see back after his injury and suspension, starting a clean slate now with a new head coach. Zoe Tyson is now, I believe, reportedly healthy. He missed all of last year with an ankle injury. Really good JUCO athlete who should add to the CSU front court. So there's quite a bit of, I almost said palpable buzz. Oh my god!
Yeah.
I'm not gonna do it.
You're off the show.
But
if you say
like
that.
I said, there's a lot of quality veteran players on this team, and I think CSU should be able to bring fans back into Fort Collins pretty easily this year if everything goes all right.
All right, let's hope that's the case. So, got Nico Medved, new head coach, new excitement, hopefully in town. Show up for some games, folks. Head to
Arkansas. Nico's on the team. How often does that happen?
I know. Come on, go support those guys. All right, so here's, I guess, the plan going forward. Just subscribe to our feed, Blog Talk Radio, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spreaker as well, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast, download the show, subscribe. We will have more basketball shows probably sooner than later because we're behind schedule. Because we're busy, right? We got stuff going on.
We are busy, yes.
So look for more shows. Look for more basketball content. We're doing our top 25 countdown. We'll have some, I guess we'll do, you got media day, aren't you? Isn't it next week you're going to be there? Should we tell people now?
Yeah, I will.
It is October 11th, right?
October 16th.
Oh, 16th. Wait. Oh, I guess 11th, was that the final email deadline or something?
It was, yeah.
Oh, that's what that was. So that's a week and a half. So it's a week, basically a week from, by the time you listen to us, it'll be next week, I'm assuming, the 16th. So check out Eli. He'll do some good stuff down there. We'll have to figure out a plan to have some fun with it and get some good content, talk to some coaches and whatever players are down there. We'll list that as well. But keep subscribing. We will do – are we going to do San Jose State next? Is that the decision is since I just blurted the name out?
Yes, yes. San Jose State will be our third preview.
We'll do that shortly. I don't know when, but it'll be soon. So keep listening, folks. And we'll see you next time here. And check us out, MWR.com. Go check out Betker_Eli. Easy trick, a life hack, if you will. Go to our MWC Wire Twitter account and find Eli's Twitter handle under there. And he'll retweet the show and basketball stuff. So if you search any college basketball, his name will probably pop up, right?
If you have something good to say, I'll definitely have a conversation with you gladly. But if you're here to just talk about why the fifth guy off the bench for San Jose is going to average 10 points, then I don't know if I'm going to pick up the phone.
We cover the league overall. We may not go that deep, but also if you're crazy, we're probably just going to ignore you.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
If the fifth guy on the bench for San Diego State has a great story about something, that's something different than saying he'll score 20 points a game.
But, humor is always welcome as well. So
we like to have fun. We don't take ourselves serious, too serious. Mm-hmm. We do on this, but on Twitter, it's for fun, right?
That's right.
All right, we'll see you next time, folks, and keep listening for more about basketball, Mountain West Hoops. Till next time.